It's that time for another episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hello. 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 Hello.
I started to be all dramatic, but then I brought it down a little bit. Maybe too enthusiastic. I don't know. Maybe.
Should do it.
Just do it. Do it.
Yarp.
On a Friday night, yarp. Three friends get together to record
yarp.
An episode so secret it was done in a place of secrecy. I don't know.
Is that, is that supposed to be like Jack Black? That's
like,
kind of what it sounds
yarp.
Like.
Is that Jack Black?
It sounds like your inner.
Really?
You're channeling your inner Jack Black.
Yarp.
Yarp? We have what? Yarp over here. We're just ignoring. Like hot shots. We're just ignoring logging.
He's hot going. Shots.
Oh, was, no, not hot shots. It was Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz. You there we go. That? Yes, with the Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simon Pegg and
Simon Pegg.
Nick Frost.
I've never made through the whole movie.
Really?
I like.
There's your sense of humor.
I know. I've tried. I can't. Like, I,
you know what he finds funny? Schindler's List.
Really? Wow.
Wow.
Exactly.
Please. No one
that
should
does
be
not surprise me, actually.
Look at those dying. We're talking about our download numbers. we're just talking about our download numbers for the show and the whole 30 people that listened last week's show.
I wish I was a Nazi.
Please don't text me saying I'm a Nazi. Yeah. Jesus
Christ. They're having so much fun water hosing those people.
Yeah.
No.
Good one, man. Got really dark.
Too soon?
Ass hair. So how's y'all's weeks? It's been a short week, man. We recorded Sunday, recording again Friday.
Went by but, quick.
It was quick, but also, like, just not necessarily a hard week at work, just kind of like a little this, a bit of that, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. It just felt like on. It was dragging at times. Like, the work days dragged. The evenings seemed to go by quick. And but
it's my 3-day weekend.
This
weekend.
Yeah.
Jealous.
WrestleMania.
There you go.
Sunday. Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's supposed to be a lot of heavy rain Sunday. That should be fun.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, too, supposedly.
Well, yeah.
You'll probably finally activate that Whedon feed that I put down a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it hasn't been raining. Here. It rained like, what, once? Or, I guess it rained a little bit a few days ago.
Sprinkles and stuff.
Not even enough to activate the whatever.
Yeah.
Soul treatment.
Morphing powers.
Morphine powers?
Yeah, morphine powers.
But, it was an okay week. But here we are on Friday night recording. Moving forward into April, and Space and Beyond Month continues on today's show.
It was Bed Bath and Beyond.
But... No, that's a store a very expensive, pricey store, by the way.
It's true.
Yeah.
Good loofahs.
But
it's not true. I bought the popcorn popper.
There are sometimes $13. You can get good things. Yeah. But we're getting ready. Of course, we announced last week, Comicpalooza. We will be back this year.
That's right.
At Comicpalooza, recording live. We will be celebrating 20 years of Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace. That's going to be our featured movie at the show. Live shows are a little bit different. We only have a 45 to 50 minute time slot, so we probably won't do download this. We probably will include some news because that's usually part of our show, but it's mostly going to focus on talking Phantom Menace for that 45 minutes to an hour. And celebrating 20 years since the prequel, man. It kind of makes you feel a little old, you know, 20 years since the prequels hit. But it should be fun. I think Phantom Menace is a very underrated Star Wars movie at times. I enjoy it, and so it should be a good one to talk about. You know, it's been much maligned over the years. People like to dog the prequels and dog Phantom Menace, but, man, Phantom Menace is a rather enjoyable film.
It really is.
So it should be fun to talk about.
And a lot of work went into it, too. I mean, those lightsabers, people don't realize those were 25-pound rods. And Ewan McGregor and Liam Neeson are swinging those things
You
around.
Just wanted to say rod and Liam Neeson in the same sentence.
Yes, Liam Neeson's rod.
Yeah. But on to another immediate development.
Yes, immediate development.
We're doing a live show or a live recording at Misfit Toys.
Misfit
in Houston,
Toys,
Texas.
Next Saturday, April 13th.
Yeah, if you're a local here in Houston or in the surrounding areas, we'll be recording in that store at 6 p.m. Show up a little early because they close at 6, but whoever comes in at 5:30 or 5, hang around a little bit, chit-chat with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah, and, that's going to be fun.
Yep.
We will, if you follow us on Facebook, the event's up on Facebook. I haven't put it on Twitter yet because I just haven't yet because I just put the event up this evening.
Should we dress up and wear a suit?
No, not that. It's Texas. Ain't wearing no goddamn suit. And but we will talk a little bit more about it at the end of the show today. But we're going to preview the movie we're going to be doing there. But we're going to be doing a live show at Misfit Toys next week. Super excited about that. It should be a jolly good time.
Follow us on Facebook and see where it's located.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Chums.
A jolly good time, yeah, chums.
That's right, old chum.
And and it is the continuation of Space and Beyond Month next week, live at Misfit Toys. More details later on in the show. So you got to keep them listening.
Mm-hmm.
But Compalooza is about a month away, May 10th, 11th, and 12th. And we are, of course, part of the podcast partnership program. And in doing so, we must talk a little Compalooza every week so that I don't get fired from my volunteer job as the Compalooza podcast coordinator. But no, I won't. That's a joke. And I really enjoyed doing the podcast program. It's been a lot of fun so far, and I hope that it all comes together well. So we're going to be doing a live show at Compalooza. We are also going to be involved in at least two panels. I'm moderating a panel, I guess, and we're doing a battle royale with another podcast.
Yeah, we're going to battle to the death.
Yeah, so that should be fun. Where it's like a trivia thing. Don't know details on all those times yet, but when I do, we will post those. But they announced a couple more guests this week, man. They announced Grant Gustin, the Flash himself, is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if people are going to speed to the front lines to get his autograph. I wonder if they're going to run as fast as they can.
Or zoom up there.
Good stuff. That's a good get, man. The CW shows, you know, whether you love them or hate them, man, it's very popular.
I like his take on it.
Hey, Supernatural lasted how many seasons?
Yeah.
It's I've got one more season, right? And then it's over.
Yeah, they announced that.
Yeah.
So that was a good get, man. I think Grant Gustin's a good, solid guest. And, of course, John Wesley Shipp is there, who played the Flash back in the 90s. And he's on the current incarnation of the Flash. So I think that was a good a good duo there, and I guess they're selling photo ops where you can take pictures with both Flashes, so it's kind of cool stuff. And
Earth 1 and Earth 2 Flash.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was any... they announced someone else this week, didn't they? Maybe not as big.
Did they?
Yeah, they announced Emilia Clarke.
Yeah, well, we talked about that last week,
didn't
we?
Yeah.
Mother of Dragons, Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe Grant Gustin was the only big one this week.
Trish Stratus and Lita.
Yeah, they're going to be there.
From WWF.
Yes.
Or WWE, as they're legally called now. But yeah, other than that, how was your week, Matt?
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah, Grant Gustin's only announcement this week.
Yeah, I won't talk about the weather, because...
Old people do that.
Old people do that, yes. And even though I'm old, I refuse to let people know.
But I'll tell them I'm old. I'm 40 years. No, I'm not that old.
I did get to watch quite a few films today. This week, I feel like.
Are you ready? Are you jumping to download this?
I am, might as well. I am.
Yeah, because I don't really have any. Sometimes we have odd news and things at the beginning, or big news. Like next week, I mean, we know the Star Wars trailer is coming on Friday. We know it's coming at Celebration. So I'm pretty sure Saturday's show is going to start off with a. Talking about the trailer next Saturday, and that's fine because that's huge news. But that there isn't any really anything like that today.
Yeah.
So let's get into download this. This is where we tell people what we've listened to, consumed, downloaded, and you wanted to begin. You were super excited. Yeah. Tell Matt people what you listened to this week.
Yeah. So I was looking at the free movies on Vudu, and I saw Haywire was on there, and at first I was like, it's starring Gina Carano. You know, I do like Gina Carano, but I feel like, maybe she shouldn't be a lead.
She's hot.
And, I'll agree to that. I'll drink to that. But I saw the supporting cast, and you've got Michael Douglas, Michael Fassbender. You've got Ewan McGregor, Bill Paxton, and, Channing Tatum's in there, which he's not super great, but he's a name. And it was decent. I mean, it could have been better. The fight sequences could have been better. But overall, I guess solid, forgettable film. And after that, I watched The Replacements. Me and my wife watched The Replacements. Just a fun movie.
Is that with Chow Yun-Fat?
That's The Replacement Killers.
The Replacement Killers,
the football movie.
The football movie.
Oh, I've only seen our
movie. I only remember the cheerleaders in that movie, really.
Yeah. The strippers.
Yeah.
That girl slapped the other girl's butt. They're distracting us.
But it's a good movie. It's based off a true story, Washington Redskins.
Very loosely based.
Yeah. You know, they had to have replacement players for the first three games, and then the real players came back, and because those three games were won, they ended up going to the Super Bowl, and they won, and they felt like they should have given, fans felt like they should have given the replacement players rings, but they never got them. So, you know, not exactly the same way it happened, right, but loosely based, and it was inspired by that. Fun movie. Definitely probably watch it again, you know, before it goes off.
Have you ever seen the Longest Yard with Adam Sandler?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of like that remake.
I've never seen it.
Not as good as the original with Jaws, of course, but I did like it, and I like that Burt. I think what made it work was Burt Reynolds was there, mm-hmm, and you had something to tie it to the original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
you had Adam Sandler throwing footballs into the ball sacks of referees. That was pretty funny. And then he replaced that guy's steroids with estrogen, and so he's like, "Are you okay? Tell me that you're hurt." And he's like, "What are you doing, man?" So I'm just caring about your feelings. And he's like, looks like some Brock Lesnar type dude.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, "Do you think my breasts are getting flappy?" He's like, what are you doing?
We're getting off the rails now.
Yeah,
I just wanted to know if you liked it or
that's
not.
Why as soon as you said Adam Sandler, I was like, you're going to get Matt going here.
Yeah, it's Matt Sandler.
I think he peaked at Little Nicky.
Probably before that. I did like Click, but I felt like, you know, Adam Sandler and Jim Carrey kind of did the same thing where they felt like they had to have comedy with a purpose and a message at the end. Mm. Bruce Almighty, Click.
It was actually the most family friendly, I think.
Bruce Almighty.
Click.
Oh yeah, yeah. Click.
But anyways, off of that.
You long. What have you done?
I don't consume. I produce.
Oh, no. There we go.
So I got some of my painting supplies and started painting the backdrop to my YouTube videos. So on my next YouTube video, you guys will probably see the new backdrop I have instead of a plain white poster board.
I just feel like I got a shot taken at me that I don't produce enough.
No.
Yeah, I'm kind of hurt all of a sudden.
No. No.
You know what I want to see? I want to see Long do a commentary like Bob Ross painting his backdrop.
I don't even know how to paint. I'm just doing it.
Yeah, you're just doing it?
Yeah. It's like, you know what? I feel like...
He's using YouTube to learn to do it to make a YouTube video.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually the original purpose is to do Transformers videos. And I'm still doing that. But I did release my top 7... favorite Game of Thrones moments using my Transformers figures. So they were reenacting
scenes. Which is quite clever.
Scenes. Thank
yes,
you.
Very clever.
Yeah, yeah. And I put it on this website called Cybertron.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of the oldest Transformers fan sites.
Yeah.
And it has like 1,800 views. Right?
Wow. Heck yeah, dude.
1,800 views on the thread, but none of that's translating to the video views.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately. They're watching it, but I don't know. There always has to be a moderator to approve all comments, apparently.
So maybe it's taking some time. And the embedding from YouTube to the... Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. No, it's clever because I know Matt hasn't watched Game of Thrones, but I've watched the first few seasons. So I was familiar with some of those scenes, and I was like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And it's really smartly done.
Thank you.
So I...
What'd you think of the spoilers that you haven't reached yet?
I didn't take too much into it because I wasn't sure in context completely, you know.
Yeah.
But but I mean, I'm not one of those guys that's too worried about spoilers. Yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
By the time I get around to finish it, this last scene's gonna be done. I'm probably gonna end up reading crap anyway, so it's like, you know, I'll get to it eventually.
It's only 6 episodes.
Yeah.
Last season was only 8 episodes. Yeah. So.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. I'm not super far behind. I'm on season 4, so I mean, I could probably get caught up pretty quick if I put my mind to it. You know.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't watch much, but I did download, for people who don't know right now, it's, of course, Batman Celebrate 80 Years, and we talked last week. So DC Universe is running a deal right now. You get a month of the DC Universe app for 80 cents. So I was like, you know what, for 80 cents, I'm going to try it. So I downloaded it the other day to my Fire Stick because it's still not available on PS4 for some reason. You can only get it like on your Fire Stick and your Roku. And
maybe because it's a Warner company.
Maybe so. And I'm glad I only paid 80 cents for it. It's a really cool app for hardcore DC fans. But there's not enough content on it right now for $8 a month. I mean, yeah, they've got Titans and Doom Patrol Young Justice as far as the new content. But everything else is stuff you've either seen or you own. Mm-hmm. All the Batman films, Batman the Animated Series, Superman, Justice League, All that stuff from the 90s is on there, but most of that we've all seen. It's like, how much are you really going to sit down and really stream all that? Mm-hmm. Most of the Batman cartoons are all in there.
Comic books.
Yeah, the comic books part is cool. That is cool. But even then, it's like, is it worth $8 a month to read these comics digitally? I guess you'd have to decide for yourself.
It's cheaper than buying them.
True. And I guess if you're hardcore comics, that part is good. So there are some good things about it. I would give the app right now like a B. You know, I think it's a solid app and there is good content on it.
Yeah.
But I just think you might run out of content within a couple of months where I keep spending $8 a month. But I think it's on the right track. As long as DC keeps putting out new content for it in time, maybe it is worth $8 every month. But for 80 cents, hey, I'm trying it out and it's not bad.
Can I offer an alternative?
Hmm.
I use Comixology Unlimited for $6 a month.
Comixology is good.
Yeah, and now they have all the three big publishers on there.
Right.
DC, Image, and
you can read Marvel. All you want on that for $6 a month?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's yeah. They'll release like the first three volumes of a, you know, first three trade paperbacks of the recent series.
Mm-hmm.
The rest you'll have to buy, but even if you do have the Comixology, you'll get a 10% discount. On new comics as well.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Because, like, I fell behind reading The Walking Dead, and that would be a good way to get caught up on some of the ones that, you know.
Yeah. Usually, since it's not a DC or a Marvel, you might get all the volumes and get caught up that way.
Yeah, because I was reading it, I was torrenting it and reading Walking Dead, and I think I stopped around, like, issue 120, 121, somewhere there.
Yeah. So. Oh, and right now there's a Humble Bundle comics going on right now, where if you spend $15, you'll get $700 worth of Transformers IDW comics.
Damn.
And the IDW Transformers series are really good.
Yeah.
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 Written with love.
Yeah, I've heard they've gotten some good stuff
going. And I pre-ordered the Star Trek versus Transformers comic book.
Nice.
And the Ghostbusters and Transformers comic, just to celebrate that I pre-ordered the Ecto-1 Transformer.
The Ecto-1.
Which I'll bring as soon as I get it.
Yeah.
I'll show it to you.
And I did watch yesterday. I ordered the Last Starfighter on Amazon because it was like $5. And that might appear in later on our little sub-feature day, our favorite sci-fi cult classic films, but I watched it yesterday and it still holds up actually really well, The Last Starfighter. I mean, some of the CGI is a little dated, but man, I really enjoy the film.
I tried watching that film several times, but I can't get through it.
I think it's one you kind of have to grow up with, you know, and I think because I grew up watching it, I kind of like it, you know?
Yeah, even as a kid.
Really?
I mean, it would show the movie for free on TV, but I couldn't care about the characters. Yeah. I don't know why.
Shows your sense of humor. Try to take a shot back out.
Yeah, that's right.
But
can't blame me for good taste. No, I'm joking. No, The Last Starfighter made a lot of money, didn't it?
I think it did pretty well. Yeah. There's been some
more
talks about about either a reboot or one of those legacy sequels where they bring it back years later. Mm. There's some talks about it. Mm. So, yes, the movie we're doing today was not a huge hit at the box office. But,
definitely wasn't.
But that's okay. But let's get into today's feature film. We are talking 1985's Enemy Mine, which is continuing our Space and Beyond theme this month. And this is definitely a definition of a film that's become a cult classic over the years. And most people have now seen this. When it hit theaters, it didn't make a lot of money. It only made about $12 million at the box office. And it was a holiday season release. It had a huge marketing campaign behind it, billboards everywhere, simultaneously running the movie TV spot on all three of the major networks. Yes. The three major networks back in 1985 at the same time, shipped out the trailers to 3,000 theaters the same day the trailer hit to run it in front of there was some big film, I think a James Bond film or something that summer that it ran in front of.
Mm-hmm.
So they really tried to promote this movie starring Dennis Quaid and Louis Gossett Jr., but it just they weren't sure how to market it. They kind of market it as a darker film than it actually is, and it is a dark film in parts, but it's also a pretty straightforward user-friendly film, is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
But the studio Fox wasn't sure how to market it. In fact, so much that they insisted that the script had a mine in the film because they thought people would be confused with the words "enemy mine," meaning my enemy is my friend kind of thing. So there's this mine in the film. I guess they thought people in 1985 were dumb and they couldn't figure out that there's no mine in this film. What? Interesting how things are perceived back then compared to now. But I enjoy this movie. It's not great. It's not, but it's not terrible either. It's kind of a middle of the road movie.
It's above average.
Yeah, I can't remember the first time I saw it, but I remember this definitely being, we've talked about those Saturday afternoon movies you would watch after you woke up in the morning, you had your cereal, and you watched your Saturday morning cartoons, and your dad would put on a matinee film. This was that movie that would air on Saturday afternoons on HBO or Fox or whatever, and you'd sit and watch it. This is one of those, and so you kind of grew up watching it and really enjoyed it. And this is the first time you had ever seen it, Matt, man, and that's pretty, because you're pretty versed in film and stuff, and so this is one of those that I'm a little surprised you haven't seen, but not totally surprised because it's an older film. So what's your first impression?
Yeah, I think the relationships that were formed between Quaid's character and Gossick's character were, they took their time with it and established it pretty well. And I felt like that made for a good story, but it could have been also why, the double-edged sword could have been why it didn't do so well, because it seemed like less of an action film really in the trailer, and maybe that turned people off. Maybe people want to see more action in their sci-fi versus man versus man,
right?
Yeah, and man versus himself.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Long? I know you you've seen this one.
Yes, this is my second time ever watching this movie. My first time ever watching this movie was when I was 10 years old, and I remember watching it from beginning to end, and I thought it was cool back then. Watching it again, I think it still holds up in a way. And there were some pacing issues after they befriended each other, the two characters. Mm-hmm. That's when it kind of started to drag when they stopped, hating each other, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the alien?
The Drock. His kid was Sammy's. He was a Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Yeah,
Jerry and Mike?
Davidge.
Davidge. Oh, that's a weird name.
Yeah.
Davidge. But that's from probably because of the novel.
Mm.
But, it has some pretty cool scenes in there with the sand monster. And, the alien life, the little beetle turtle scarab thing.
And for 1985, pretty solid special effects.
Oh, yeah.
The spaceships all look really good. The miniatures.
Yeah.
The lasers showers. And backgrounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I kind of gravitate to this film, because I always really enjoy science fiction that takes me to another world and to a different place, and and doesn't get over preachy at you. Sometimes I know you're a Trek fan, but sometimes Trek can get a little over preachy. And I think that's sometimes why I haven't gravitated to Trek as hardcore as I have. I sometimes like the simpler absolution of science fiction films where the world just exists. It is what it is.
Like Godzilla?
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be overly explained, And I think that's why I like Enemy Mine. It's just it's an imaginary tale that you can sit and enjoy on a Saturday afternoon. You don't have to think too hard about it. It takes you to another world and transports you somewhere.
It is as dark as I remembered it. Mm-hmm. As far as tone.
Yeah.
It is pretty dark.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's got a lot of light humor in it, too, their relationship.
Yeah.
But it definitely takes a darker turn towards the end of the film after Jerry, his race, the Drax, they give they don't have a choice is when they're going to have a child. So he ends up getting pregnant, and he dies in childbirth. And so he raises his son and calls them zombies, and he gets captured. And the film does definitely take a dark turn when he goes back to rescue him, much darker than the rest of the film. A lot of violence for a PG-13 film.
Well, yeah.
Oh, man.
The way the birth happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had to open up Jerry to get the kid.
And then
that was
you,
pretty dark.
Yeah, and then you had stepped off, and then me and Long are watching this fight in the mining plant, and this guy just gets thrown into the drill, and it looks
drill
like...
bit.
Yeah, it looks like the person just collapses, man.
We watched it. It was like, whoa!
Yeah.
It was like some kind of an inflatable that got crushed.
Yeah. And then an ear turns up, a shoe.
Yeah. And it was violent enough that in England, it did get... England has what they call a 16+, is their version of R rating. It did get that in England. It got the 16+ overseas. But in America, it was one of the early films to get PG-13. Because PG-13 had only been around about a year at this point.
Yeah.
And but I think it sits comfortably in PG-13. I've seen some PG-13 stuff today that's more violent than this.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just shocking for that time. Like in 1985, you would have thought, man, this would have been rated R. There's an arrow through the neck and his leg almost getting ripped off by the monster and things like that. So it's definitely a bit of a darker movie. But For watching the first time, other than the relationship, what else did you pick up or enjoy from it?
I think that, I mean, we watched the Blu-ray version, but it's really good. The picture is really good. I would compare it almost to Blade Runner. Blade Runner's still a better picture as far as, like, you know, holding up from...
As far as quality?
Yeah, quality. Yeah. But it kind of reminded me of, you know, Blade Runner had held up.
And that's the great thing about Blu-ray. Blu-rays, like, the newer stuff we buy, you know, Spider-Man, the Spider-Verse, or the new Star Wars films, they're all shot, some stuff still shot on film, but it's all transferred digitally. So it looks really good. You know, not everyone shoots with digital cameras, but it's transferred digitally. Blu-ray is really made for movies, I would say, like 2005 and up. You know, films that were still shot on film before digital cameras were everywhere. And it does a nice job of making those movies look new if the transfer is done properly. And it was an excellent transfer in Enemy Mine. Yeah,
and then the soundtrack, I was telling Long, when the movie was starting up, that it kind of reminds me if John Williams had written a track for this, you know, movie, but it included keyboards, you know, instead of piano. And I thought the sound was really good.
I couldn't hear the music with all the kids screaming and jumping.
We heard it at the beginning.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. Whenever it was the calm before the storm. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, that's, I noticed that. I guess the spaceships were fine. Long mentioned he saw a miniature. You know, he saw it. You know, there was a miniature model.
Pretty good shot. And, it was well shot.
Yeah, I think I missed that. So I guess
when it was crashing.
When it was crashing.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to look at that again. I have it ready to go on as a rental. I'm gonna have to rewatch it and get that on the second time around.
I thought you bought it.
Yeah. No, I rented it.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know if I was gonna like it enough to make it a keeper, you know. But it's definitely worth it. I can see why there's a following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's directed by Wolfgang Petersen, who went on to he had made Das Boot at this time,
excellent movie.
Yeah, but he went on to make Troy. He made
Air Force
the Neverending Story, Air Force One. I mean, he's had quite a good career as a director, where he's been a little bit all over the place. He's made action movies like Air Force One, science fiction movies, fantasy movies. He's one of those directors that is very versatile, like Ridley Scott or Steven Spielberg. He can do a lot of different stuff. And he came on the film late. The movie did run into some production problems early on, as Richard Lundgren was originally hired to direct. And he wanted to shoot the film in Iceland, apparently. But the studio was against that because of budget restraints and a lot of creative differences, so they fired him, and they brought Wolfgang Petersen in, and he reshot the whole thing. They only shot a few weeks of footage anyways with their director. He didn't want to use any of it. He said it was terrible. So the film got delayed almost 9 months. Dennis Quaid and Louis Gossett Jr. were paid a holding fee while they sat waiting for the film to be made, as they reworked everything, including the Drock makeup. They reworked that, reworked parts of the script. And the film was budgeted at about $19 million. It was a budget about $9 million. It went over almost 10, and they figured almost another $15 to $20 million in marketing costs for this film.
Yeah.
And, you know, as they sat and got everything ready, you know, and it was shot on location to give it an alien-looking world in Morocco, in the Canary Islands, and in Germany. So they had to find exotic-looking places to save money on budget, because they couldn't do it all on sets. I mean, they did some stuff on sets in Germany, and those sets are still there. It's part of the studio tour in Germany, where that film studio is. Some of the sets are still
there. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, can you imagine? Hey, this is where we did Enemy Mine.
Right.
They're like, what?
What movie? Yeah.
What movie?
And, but this movie apparently, though, did very well in Russia, because the Drock language is like Russian backwards.
Yes.
Mixed in with some other things.
Uh-huh.
And I guess this film played very well in Russia, which is kind of strange.
That's interesting.
It was one of the first sci-fi films to ever be released there, you know, at that point. And even today, movies are still very limited to what is released there. But this was one of those. So I guess they had nothing else to go see, so it became kind of a big hit there. But the movie, you know, Wolfgang Petersen came in and righted the ship and got the film made and everything. And he fought with the studio some, too. He felt that, you know, hey, let me do this. I can make it really good. And they had to cut some scenes, like the scene at the end of the film on the Drock homeworld was originally much longer, where he met Jerry's parents and he got to know the culture a little bit. But they had to scrap all that because the studio's like, no, we're not filming all that. It's too much. And I guess there was a couple other scenes at the beginning of the film were longer too, a little bit more about the war between the Drox and the humans. Mm-hmm. But that was all scrapped too for budget restraints, that they had to trim the script down to focus on Davish and Jerry's relationship and the whole thing on the planet instead of the bookends, you know, to make the film a little tighter. And which Wolfgang Peterson is known for making very long films.
Yeah.
You know, the director's cut of Troy is almost 3.5 hours.
I heard it was better.
Yeah. Oh, it is much better. Much darker.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's, yeah. But so I could see that he had to fight with the studio on the, hey, no, we want a 2-hour film, not what you want to make. But I think overall, though, I think Wolfgang Peterson.
That felt like a long movie.
Yeah. It is a long hour and 45-minute movie because it drags a little bit in the middle as you, the pacing of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it works too. You know, I feel like that if you don't develop that relationship with him and the alien, and show the diversity between them and coming together, then it doesn't have the same effect when he goes out of his way to go back to this planet to save zombies because that's how much he cared. You know, mm-hmm. It would lose that effect, I believe.
Yeah,
and it makes that much stronger at the end of the film. You know,
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I think it was paced just fine. It may have seen at some points like it dragged on, but ultimately I think it was better not to rush that relationship. And I liked how it went back and forth while we were watching the movie. Like, you know, it looked like they were becoming really good friends, and then something sparks an argument. It's like, you humans, you Drax, and yeah, and then
you're ugly. You're ugly.
You're uglier. And so, you know, and that would happen, and then everything would be fine again. They'd make up. And so it wasn't, you know, I liked how they made it to where everything wasn't just sunshine and rainbows all of a sudden.
Right.
You know, they still had their issues back and forth, but ultimately...
I give it a 7.
They overcame them.
Mm.
Yeah.
I do think that's what makes a film work, is the relationship between Quaid and Louis Gossett Jr. and their banter. You know, yes. without that and developing that, because at first they want to kill each other and they know nothing but hatred. And they take the time to realize that they only know hatred because they were taught that.
Yeah.
They were taught that the... Drox were wanting to invade, you know, not necessarily invade Earth, but to destroy him, explore. Yeah. And the humans thought that the Drox were, you know, invaders and wanted to, you know, so, and then they get to learn from each other that, hey, it's not all that bad, you know. So I thought it's a good way to look at the diversity of how two cultures can come together and fight and learn their differences.
Yeah, yes. This may was during the height of the Cold War, mm-hmm. So.
Right. And even today, those themes can be even relevant today in our society. You know, as we deal with diversity issues even today. You know, and so I think this that's why this movie does hold up pretty well. You know,
yeah.
for a film that's a.
How would you score it, Matt?
I would say it's a solid C for me. I wish there was more action, but I understand
why.
Like a
6 or a 7 or something like that.
Yeah.
Above average.
Yeah, above average.
Yeah. It's a good, relaxing watch. If you want to watch a little sci-fi film, you don't have to think too hard about it. You just put this on, sit back with your feet up, listen to popcorn.
That's fair.
And just, you know, enjoy it for what it is. You know, it's a childhood favorite of mine, and I like it. I don't know if I'd put it... I'd probably give it a solid B.
Solid, you
know,
B.
This is very much a definition of what they call a B movie. You know, you go to the drive-in theater, and this might be matched with a big-budget film. This might be the second feature.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, you know, kind of thing.
Like just if Alien was playing, and then instead of Alien 2, they...
Stick around for Enemy Mine or something. Yeah. You know, I could see that in a repertory theater.
Yeah.
So, good, fun film.
Yeah.
So, the final thoughts? Or y'all gave y'all's already?
I'm done.
I'm done, too.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is. Like I enjoyed it.
You made me suffer.
Nice. No, it was. There were some things I was looking forward to seeing in that movie. You know, because I remember it being dark, and I didn't realize how violent it got.
Yeah.
But
and you know, Dennis Quaid's a local. He's a Houstonian. He's one of us, and he's always fun. I like Quaid on screen. I don't know why. He's just one of those actors I always feel like deserved more in his career. And not that he hasn't had a nice career, but I think it's because he feels like your next door neighbor. So when you watch Dennis Quaid on screen, you feel like you can relate to him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, kind of like
my favorite Quaid movie is Interspace.
Interspace.
That's a good one. And I'm a baseball guy. I really like The Rookie, man, where he played Jack Morris. I think that's a good movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Yeah, good movie.
And man, Quaid's had a quietly good career. What was the one he did
consistently
with
solid. Was that Jaws 3 was the epitome.
Jaws 3.
No. Was when he peaked. No. Oh,
poor Jaws 3.
The revenge. Louis Gossett Jr. is in that movie, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
That's funny.
All right.
Reunited.
On to the news.
Well, before news, we have our little sub feature. You know, because this is a definition of a cult classic film.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what are some favorite cult classic films that you guys, like, kind of dig or grew up watching?
Like guilty pleasure films or?
Or just cult?
I mean, guilty pleasure could be striptease, you know.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking that's
like,
true.
Like, cult, what are, like, three favorite niche. Cult classics?
That's niche.
Terminator is a cult classic.
Terminator is it, 2? Though?
Yeah. Don't
Terminator 2 is a cult classic.
Chris Hemsworth meme thing on me.
Terminator 2 is a
Critters.
Big budget film.
Critters.
Oh, a low bit? But this one was a big budget film. $40 million.
Well, yeah, 85. But a cult classic, definitely a cult classic film, not necessarily budget, but a film that was bombed at the box office.
Last Action Hero.
And it found a following. You know? Yeah,
Last Action Hero.
But has Last Action Hero found a following? Yes, really?
It is.
Dookie it does.
Dude, it does have it. Yeah.
It's so terrible,
it does.
Though.
Maybe not as much as Enemy Mine, but right. It does have a following.
Critters.
Baby buggy
Critters bumpus. Definitely has a...
Yeah, Critters.
They still show Critters at midnight screens.
People. Gremlins? You think Gremlins?
Yeah, that was a box office hit. Yeah.
No. Was Leprechaun a box office hit?
That's a cult following.
Yeah, it has a cult following.
Yeah, I would say Leprechaun. Jennifer Aniston's in it, dude.
Yeah.
She's totally, totally hot. But, you know,
they're doing the reboot.
Yeah, I mean, they are. And they have the same guy in there, too.
And there are movies that are, like, subpar hits. Like, The Crow is definitely a cult classic. But it did have box office success. But it's also a movie that has had a bigger following over the years. There's different definitions of a cult classic, you know, I think. Like The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. That's definitely, you know, cult classic. It didn't do super well at the box office.
My ex liked
it. And has found an audience over the years.
Maximum Overdrive.
Yes, that's definitely a cult classic. Yeah. I have to say Buckaroo Banzai is probably one of my favorite cult classics.
That's
films.
One I couldn't get into either.
Yeah. See, I like it, man. I love Buckaroo Banzai. I think I like it because it's such cult.
You like it because Kevin Smith likes it.
Cult classic said, and quirky. No, I liked it actually even before I knew he liked it. And when I found out he liked it, I was like, oh, I like
he
it.
Was, he was so close to.
So close to.
To getting the TV series going, and MGM is still
was like, wait a minute, we still hold the rights.
Yeah, you hold the rights, do something
and
with
he
it.
And he even pitched it to MGM, too, said, look, I have all this ready to go. You know, I could do this. Just let us have the rights. Netflix, apparently Netflix or Hulu was ready to buy it and make a TV show. And MGM was like, no. So stupid. You got this sitting there.
That's why MGM's
it's
irrelevant.
Kevin fucking Smith. He could have made money for you.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I don't understand why MGM did that. You know, even Kevin Smith said, I don't get it either, man. We were ready
maybe
to make it
maybe it's because of the Lord of the Rings ordeal. They maybe. Had the rights for a while, and it slipped through their fingers. Yeah.
And apparently... Kevin hasn't given up hope on Buckaroo. Like, he's keeping the scripts they wrote and the ideas, and he's hoping that maybe MGM comes around. He hasn't completely abandoned. He's just doing other projects right now. So we'll see. But any other ones y'all can think of, man? I mean...
Well, Critters, for sure. You ever seen Critters?
I Matt? Have seen Critters. I do remember Gremlins, but I know Critters was on TV a bunch.
It was made because of Gremlins.
Yeah. I think you know, we're missing the elephant in the room, Super Troopers. Super Troopers did horrible.
That's a cult classic. Yeah.
And then everyone was like, oh, shenanigans.
I mean, I don't know. Why is that the elephant in the room? We never even mentioned Super Troopers before.
Well, exactly. It's the elephant in the room. No one mentioned it. But it's in the room, just staring at you, you know, like chlamydia.
Did you watch Super Troopers 2?
I have not. I heard it wasn't that great, though.
Oh. Comic Palooza guest Billy Zane's The Phantom. Yeah, it's kind of had a following over the years. It didn't do real well at the box office.
1930s comic.
I had zero interest in that movie when it came out.
I actually,
is it the spandex?
I own him. I actually kind of like it.
Purple spandex and the black mask. I'm like... Pfft.
I like it for its cheesiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's way too old-timey too for me.
A movie we were talking about pre-show, The Monster Squad. That's definitely a kind of a cult classic.
Yeah. I did.
The Shadow.
Like Monster Squad.
The Shadow, yeah. The Monster Squad.
Or Dark Man. Shadow.
Dark Man, definitely.
Dark Man, yeah.
Yeah, that's a
I
good
liked
one.
Dark Man when I grew up.
Yeah. Which Liam was Neeson. Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Man, Liam Neeson mentions in one episode.
You sure that's it rad. Wasn't Alec Baldwin?
No, it was.
No, Liam. Alec Baldwin's The Shadow.
The Shadow, that's the what Shadow. I was talking about.
Yeah, Dark Man was Liam Neeson.
Oh, okay.
Only in the first one. He wasn't in the sequels. But, yeah.
That's whenever he was, like, scarred beyond belief, right? Is that guy?
Yeah.
So, Enemy Mine, definitely a cult classic. and a few other cult classic movies there to check out for you good people.
Good right? people.
On to the news.
On to the news.
Yes.
The Joker trailer hit. Long, you, we were texting, and you're like, you have to wait till the show to find out what I thought about it. So the floor is yours.
Oh, yes. I think it's going to go in a direction that most audiences are not expecting, you know?
In the toilet?
No.
Oh.
No, it's going to be a very, it's going to be very artistically driven,
mm-hmm.
you know? Not like it's, you know, one of those weird surrealist movies right. where yeah. people are like staring at the camera and say, what is life? We don't know.
What is life?
No, I think it's going to be, from what I gather, I think it's going to be not a straight narrative. Like, it's, I kind of expect this movie to be jumping back and forward.
Yeah.
And a lot of flashbacks.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Todd Phillips is known for, like, the Hangover films.
Oh, is that what he directed?
Old School. Yeah, he did Old School.
Really?
A lot of comedy type stuff. So it's an interesting choice for a director for this.
Hmm.
But everything I've read, he's very in tune with the character. It seems like Todd Phillips, he's one of those directors that's one of us. He grew up with this stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He gets it.
Scorsese produced this movie, though,
I believe so. His company, by name anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
And
De Niro. I saw De Niro in the
really?
Trailer. Yeah.
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 Apparently he's in the film.
Yeah, he is.
I you know, it almost feels like watching a trailer, like this could fit in the Nolanverse in a way.
Yeah.
From the looks of it. I'm partial as a Batman fan to the Red Hood origin. I've always wanted to see that on screen, where he, you know, that version of the Joker, but it seems like they're going to stick with the Arthur version where he was abused and,
yeah.
you know, how did I get these scars? Kind of, you know, that that story of the Joker, which is okay, because I guess that's what more audiences familiarize themselves with or can associate themselves with in the classic comic.
I'm going to wait for the reviews on this movie.
I think so. Joaquin looks interesting in the part, you know. You never know what you're going to get with him. He's a bit of a odd character as a person in general.
Yeah.
But I do like the look of the movie. I think it looks interesting. I'm with Long. I think it's not going to be what you expect. I think it's not going to be as straightforward as the trailer
yeah.
makes it out to be.
Yeah.
Was that a Batman mention in a trailer? Where he goes, you know, there's a guy out there with a mass vigilante on the news thing. I wonder if that's some... I don't think we're going to see any
people
Batman
say
in the
that
film.
The kid in there is probably young Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, but how? That means if, by the time he's old, that means the Joker's like an old man.
Yeah,
that's my thing with that. Right. I was like...
Yeah.
You know, I was like, nah.
Who knows?
What did you think of the Joker trailer?
I liked it. You know, the memes are already starting. People, you know, it shows him running down the alley and getting smacked with a sign. And it says, the Joker trailer looking decent. And then people saying, Heath Ledger is the best. He'll never be Heath Ledger. And then he gets hit in the face. And then the, you know, 1989 Batman. You know, let's mutate, you know, and mess up the Joker by throwing him into a batch of chemicals. And now they're like, let's mess up the Joker. Let's create the Joker by throwing him into society.
Speaking of Joker, did you see the new Gotham reveal of
The
Joker?
Yeah, it looks good.
He looks very bald,
weird.
And scarred.
Yeah.
Very he's based off the Scott Snyder
sinister looking
Joker. Yeah, they released a photo of that. But I don't think that there's not much negativity on this Joker versus Jared Leto's.
No, I don't think so either.
Looks much better.
But I saw people. Nothing showed me in the trailer that convinced me that he's necessarily better than Ledger or Nicholson or anyone yet. I mean, it's too early to tell.
But his makeup is based on the Cesar Romero.
Yeah.
Cesar
I do
Romero.
Like the look that he has in it.
Yeah.
I do like that kind of clown look.
But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I guess, you know, we had Idris Elba was going to play Deadshot. Now he's not. But he's still in Suicide Squad 2 or The Suicide Squad, whatever they're calling it. Idris Elba. This just came down today. I guess James Gunn said that they decided that because a couple of Jai Courtney's coming back and the lady who played...
Margot Robbie?
No. Well, Margot Robbie, I guess...
Not Alfre Woodard, but what's her name?
No.
The black lady who played...
Yeah, she's coming back. You know, I guess they want to leave the door open for Will Smith to come back, even though he's not going to be in this one. Okay. Like, I'm trying to figure out...
Come on, Will Smith.
Because
this is James Gunn.
All of a sudden,
about.
They decided not to disrespect Will Smith by making it seem like he did a bad job at Deadshot. So
he didn't. He was really good.
So they're going to give Elba a different role in the movie, but they're not saying what it is. And is it too much as a comic book fan? Can I hope for Elba to be playing Slade Wilson?
Oh, man.
I would love him as Deathstroke.
Yeah.
You know, that would be badass.
Idris
Elba. I think Elba as Deathstroke would be awesome. He would make
a good Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
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 I could see him as Ra's.
Yeah. And that's just fanboy casting, man. You know,
Clayface.
That'd be interesting, too. Yeah. So we'll see. As long as Elba's in the movie and James Gunn's directing, I'm down for it, man. It should be pretty cool. I guess to start shooting very soon.
Oh, and there's a rumor that Joaquin Phoenix might have a cameo in Birds of Prey.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. As the Joker?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm excited to see
Is Birds of Prey next year, 2020?
Yeah.
It must be since it's filming now.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm interested in seeing The Huntress, and I don't know if they cast a Catwoman yet. Well, anyways.
Yeah. The Netflix's Cowboy Bebop is starting to come together.
Yes.
John Chow is going to play the lead character.
Cho.
Cho. Is that how you say it, Cho?
Yeah.
Sorry. No disrespect, man. Yeah.
It's all good.
And, man, it's good casting. You know, I watched Searching, you know, recently, and although I wasn't all over the movie, like a lot of people said that Searching is one of the best, he's really good in it.
Yeah.
He's really good at Sulu. He's come a long way from his Harold and Kumar days, for sure. And
absolutely.
I really like
night and day.
I really liked this casting to bring a very, very popular anime to live action. And I think that the cast is for something like this is very important to do it the right way.
For all the time I've watched anime, that's the one I haven't watched.
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but yeah I've never seen the whole thing either. And it's not very long. It's only like, what?
It's just 26
to 30 episodes, yeah.
Yeah.
And but super popular. It has a very, very loyal following. It's from reactions I've seen on the internet this week that...
People are happy.
They're happy, they're positive, because this fan base is like Lord of the Rings level, Dragon Ball Z level. They will speak out if they don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing the following it has for just a short run series.
Yeah.
And not short run by it because it didn't do well. It was designed that way. And you know, I want that to sound like it didn't do well, you know. So we'll see. I guess this should happen pretty quick. You know, they announced this Netflix stuff, and before you know it, we're getting a trailer. And because, you know, they shoot these TV shows, and they're doing 10 episodes. They shoot all 10 of them over, like, 3 months, and bam, then they put in the special effects, and they roll them pretty quick, man. They're knocking TV out left and right.
Yeah.
Too much to keep up with. So Avengers tickets went on sale.
Yes. yes, they did.
I don't have mine yet. I've been slacking.
I have mine.
I'm going to wave it in your face.
I got to get on the computer and buy them.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
So what is... Why are these people spending $5,000 to buy Avengers tickets? It's a fucking movie.
Has anyone spent money to buy that?
A legitimate sell on eBay of $10,000, $5,000 for two tickets. It actually happened. Why?
That makes me want to sell mine. I think it's slowed down now. I think it's, you know, it's smart. I think it's smart to sell them, but you know, maybe dumb to buy them yet.
Yeah, it's dumb to buy them. Why? It's a movie. It'll be there 4 days later after it opens up, 4 weeks after it opens up. It's like, that blows my mind. Is that where we're at in the human race? You know, I mean, I guess a few years ago, people were buying Twinkies off of eBay when they were
doing them. Twinkies.
So, everyone's super excited for this movie, but between that and can we stop with the Ant-Man going up Thanos' ass thing?
Why did that start?
It's overplayed now. It's not funny anymore.
How did that start?
Some guy like Matt probably put it on the internet.
4chan.
You know,
got to be 4chan. Fucking 4chan, man.
It's just like it's done. So, if you're an idiot out there that spent more than $13-14 for your Avengers ticket, then you're a dumbass. You know.
But what if I have a family?
Well, buy multiple tickets is different. Yeah, I'm talking one single ticket. And according to the Russo brothers, they said. Joe Russo came out and said that Stan Lee's final cameo is in Avengers Endgame. But then some people pointed out, like, wait, hold up. Because James Gunn pretty much confirmed he had filmed a cameo for Guardians 3 already.
Yeah.
And then apparently there's one filmed for Spider-Man Far From Home. Mm-hmm. So now Russo has backtracked and said it may be his final cameo. Oh. It's like foot and mouth, right?
He was probably one of the last directors to direct.
That's what I'm thinking. And he forgot there were because James. I know James. Remember reading that James Gunn said he had filmed the cameo for Guardians 3.
I could have sworn that Stan had plenty of cameos.
Well, they said six more when he passed away.
Yeah,
Captain Marvel, Avengers, Spider-Man, was a movie I just mentioned, Guardians 3.
Guardians 3.
He had done his voice cameo for Spider-Man Homecoming. So, and then there was one, they shot six ahead of time, and one was already shot before that, that was out before he, what was the last Marvel movie before, well, Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yeah.
He had filmed all those ahead of time, so there's five more.
Should we, are you guys what do you guys think of, like, just hiring a stand-in that looks like Stan Lee, just to carry on the tradition?
Maybe, or do you,
As long as he doesn't say anything, maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
Or pass the torch to maybe somebody. There's been a lot of, speaking of Kevin Smith, there's been a lot of movement for him to take over in cameo roles. And it's gotten even more movement since his Captain Marvel non-cameo where Stan Lee's reading the Mallrats script.
Yeah.
There's even more movement behind that. People saying, like, Kevin should be the guy. You know, so it could be interesting. You know, or they just leave it how it is. And,
yeah.
You know.
Leave it how it is.
Yeah. And Kevin's already said, like, if they asked him to do it, he would consider it. But he also feels like, you know, would I, you know, how do you accept that role, you know, and follow in the footsteps of the great Stan Lee? So we'll see what happens.
Be tough.
Yeah. But that was all the news I got. It's kind of a slow week since a short week for us recording. So do you have anything long? Because I know sometime.
Yeah, they're releasing a, if you watch Shazam in IMAX, you will be able to watch the 5-minute trailer to Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
I've heard about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so right now the Godzilla subreddit is going through suicide watch right now. Because, actually, their brains have melted for seeing all the leaked footage of the 5-minute trailer. And I saw it too, and I was like, praise Jesus. It was pretty.
But, you know, I bet it's one of those marketing things. I bet it hits the internet within a week. Warner Brothers will probably.
It's out there.
Because it's Warner Brothers Legendary Pictures, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet they'll release it officially online. I know there's bootlegs out there.
Yeah.
But I bet they'll let it play in IMAX over the opening week for Shazam.
It's kind of cool, too, because at the end of the trailer, you hear people clapping and applauding. Oh, really? It's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So they're building the anticipation really good.
Oh, I'm sure.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
But other than that, God, there was something else. I think it was comic book related. And I think I already mentioned it, though. They showed what the Joker looks like, the final form of the Joker looked like for Gotham TV series, the final TV season.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and next, probably the Sunday, yeah, next Sunday, the 13th or 14th, it's going to be the final season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's so, fixing to start.
Yeah.
And then when we gather next week, we will have trailers, at least for episode 9, maybe The Mandalorian by Saturday night also. Our first look at the TV series, because it's supposed to be revealed next week, too.
Celebration?
Yeah.
Celebration's next week?
Next weekend.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So Friday morning's the Star Wars episode 9 panel.
Wow.
So by Friday afternoon, we'll be having that trailer next week, a week from today.
Interesting.
So, and then I'm not sure when The Mandalorian panel is, but I know it's that weekend, too. And Dave Filoni pretty much dropped that we will get footage for The Mandalorian also. So... good time. Nice. Star Wars is full force next week.
Good time to be a Star Wars fan.
Yep. So let's preview next week's movie. We're going to be talking live at Misfit Toys. It's another movie. It kind of deals with diversity between humans and aliens in a bit of a different way. And we're going to be talking Neil Blomkamp's modern and classic District 9.
Nobody comes back late at night anymore. They have more security.
The government noticed that they were moving into new areas. That's when things started to get out of hand.
They don't belong here.
They're spending so much money to keep them here when they could be spending it on other things. At least they're keeping them separate from us.
A lot of bad things started to happen.
They must just go. I don't know where they go. They must just go.
We're at the breaking point. People are living in fear.
Why don't you just leave? How do your weapons work?
Oh. I just want everyone watching this right now to learn from what has happened.
Yes.
This is a film that I kind of dismissed when it came out. You know, I didn't think much of it, and then it got buzz. It got Oscar buzz.
Not a whole lot of marketing.
And I watched it on video, and I really thought, man, this is really unique and really cool, and I like it, man. It's not an easy sci-fi watch because it's kind of heavy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it's something that is worth rewatching, and it should be a fun one to talk about. A lot to talk about in the way it's shot and the way it's made. And what went into getting this film made. You know?
Of course.
I like the grittiness of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked how the aliens were CGI'd whenever I first saw it.
Seamless.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch it again to grasp it completely, but I remember enjoying how the aliens were put together.
Yeah. It's quite a remarkable debut film for a director. You know, every now and then you get these directors that just make these debut films that are just... above the bar, and this is one of those. So it'll be fun to talk about next week when we record live at Misfit Toys over on Yale Street. If you're local here in Houston, like Long said earlier in the show, get there between 5:30, hang out. Hopefully we start sometime between 6:30. We'll get rolling. If you're hanging out there, we'll try to do a little Q&A too. So think of some questions you might want to ask us, and we'll do our best to answer.
Yes.
And you know, I think we'll sit down with Daniel from Misfit Toys if he wants to come on the show, too, and talk about his shop a little bit and give him some love, some Rebel Radio love on the show, you know? Mm-hmm. And Matt, don't touch him, though, okay?
No.
See, Matt was getting a little
excited. No, not that kind of love.
But it should be a good time, man. I'm looking forward to it. And we hope we get a few friends to come out and hang out with us and listen to the show and make it a special night next Saturday at Misfit Toys, the Rebel Radio Live, talking
and
District
how?
9.
And how.
And wait, live and how? What?
I don't know.
I missed it too. But that's all I got. Go to rebelradiopodcast.com and for all your episodes, follow us on all apps. Leave us a review on iTunes. We'd appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter at Rebel Radio Pod and Facebook at the Rebel Radio Podcast and all that good stuff. The event for next week is up on the Facebook, so check that out. And as we roll towards Comp Palooza, and Space and Beyond Month continues next week with District 9 at Misfit Toys. So, awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun week next week.
Yeah.
Surrounded by toys.
You can follow me at Evil Dr. Tran.
I have to drink a lot of coffee beforehand so I can just go on
Twitter.
Yeah.
And hit like and subscribe.
Yeah.
Pretty please. Give us some reviews to read.
Yes, we need some reviews. I check iTunes every couple of days, see, hoping someone left us a review, but nope.
No.
Nope, nothing new. And we need to get the Electric Monkey over here more active on Twitter.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Fucking slacker.
Him and his 100 bots.
Right?
100 bots.
But as always, thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. We absolutely do every moment, every time you download the show, listen to it, or check it out. We really do from the bottom of our heart. We do this because we love it.
Yes.
It's nice to get downloads, and we'd love to get thousands of them, but at the same time, we do it because we get to hang out with each other and talk geek stuff that we love to do and have a good time. And until next time, we'll talk to you next week at Misfit Toys. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is LT Primatron.
As always, thanks for listening to Rebel Podcast.
Call me Long.
Just go there and do it.
Do it.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.